Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Some of you may be interested in a TV show I'll be hosting tonight on the idea of breaking up Iraq into three autonomous regions. That'll be at 7:30 tonight on CUNY TV, Channel 75, on the New York City cable systems. Right now, here on WNYC, speaking of the underground economy, we will have a call-in now on giving to people who ask you for money on the street. Call them beggars or panhandlers or just people who ask you for money on the street. When do you give? When do you not? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And I bring this up partly because I've been trying a different approach to this myself recently. I generally size people up and give some change to people who strike me as worthy, however I measure that. But I found myself giving less and less over time. This one is too aggressive. This one is too probably a drug addict. This one looks young and healthy and could get a job. This one I've seen before and I'm tired of his rap. And it got to the point where I was giving only to older, quiet women. And I became uncomfortably aware of my own biases in this respect. So I decided for this month, around the holidays at least, I would try a little experiment and suspend all judgment and give the change in my pocket to whoever I run into who asks. Well, almost whoever. And I've been doing it with one basic exception. I will not give money to people in a subway train. I support the law that's premised on the idea that you are too much of a captive audience inside a subway car and it's too intrusive to have begging there, although apparently it's very successful. But anyone on the street who asks in any way, I've been giving money to, and I've become aware of actually how little I get asked on my usual routes in Lower Manhattan and Upper Manhattan. So what about you? When do you give money to people who ask on the street, and when do you not? 212-433-9692, and I see our lines are already full, but as people finish up, 212-433-WNYC, or you can email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. Just to finish the thought, I've been feeling good about my little experiment so far because almost anyone who is in the position of having to ask is probably in tough shape because who wants to have to do that? And if I unknowingly wind up giving some quarters to some hustlers along the way, no big thing compared to my previous over scrutiny. And I've also been noticing how grateful people are when you give. The only exception besides the subways, which is a policy exception, I found myself balking if someone feels threatening in any way or just too obnoxious, like a guy I saw this week who was hurling verbal abuse at people for not giving. He was actually trying to panhandle through sarcasm, which, you know, in a way was entertaining, but ultimately it was just too obnoxious. He was like, yeah, go ahead and drink your $4 coffees, that kind of thing, you know, that kind of thing. It was too much. And he may be right, but it's where I drew the line. So I realize some people think it's bad to ever give because it just encourages more panhandling and keeps the beggars hooked on not the best lifestyle for them. But that's where I am right now, at least in my experiment this month. Where are you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Susan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, hi, good morning. I try to give 99% of the time. When anyone, it's my way of living my life. When anyone crosses my path and needs help, I don't size them up. I just feel that it's an opportunity for me to do a mitzvah. That's in the Jewish religion where we try to help as many people as we can, and that an agent of a mitzvah will never be harmed. Also, I really believe that that there are people out there who my premise is that there are people out here who really are this is the only way that we know that when we give charity, it actually goes to the person. Because how many times we give to big organizations, and there's so many times when we don't know if it's actually going to the actual people intended. Mm-hmm. This is the one time that we're 100% mm-hmm. certain that it goes directly to the person. And one other thing, I had a client years ago who would give $20 when someone would ask her for help on the street. She was from Africa, and she said, "What is a dollar going to do?" So I try to give as much as I can when anyone crosses my path.
Interesting. Now I'm going to ask you one follow-up question. What about people you see all the time? I have a friend who has, you know, a local person always in her neighborhood, probably lives around a corner in my friend's neighborhood, and she's reluctant to give once because then she might feel obligated to give all the time or feel that there's an expectation after that of regular giving. Do you come across people like that on your path?
Well, I don't, but I always believe that, you know, these become like my adopted children or family, and we're all connected in this world. You know, why should we judge? We have it, why not just give it? There was a rabbi on the Upper West Side, Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach. He used to always have the same regulars coming to his shul, people that weren't Jewish, and he would always give to them because he felt it was the right thing to do.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Rich in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Great, thanks. Yeah, on the subject, quite often I would ask the people what they were going to use the money for, and more often than not, they just told me they wanted to get something to eat. So then I challenged them on that and say, well, hey, let me go get you something to eat. Let's go get something to eat. And we'd go get a piece of pizza or a burger or something. And if they said they wanted something to eat, and I said, well, let's get something to eat, they're not like, no, just give me the money. And I say, well, you know, have a nice day. And I would just leave it at that.
Yeah, because you figured then they were going to use it for drugs and you didn't want to support that.
Yeah, I didn't want to help them in their problem. I mean, one guy, after buying him a slice of pizza, he said, you know, thanks for buying me something to eat. Now when I get money, I don't have to buy food. But, you know, it was a fun experience to
right.
do.
Right. It's a lot of work, though, to do that every time someone asks you for money.
Yeah, when I first moved to the city in my mid-20s, I had a lot more time. I don't do it quite as often now, but I still find myself doing it on
right.
occasion.
Do you think about giving it anyway? I mean, like, I've had the experience similar to yours where I had a sandwich on me that was left over from this platter that they had out at work at a job I used to have somewhere else. And so I had the sandwich I didn't want, and somebody came up and asked me for money, and I said, no, but I have this sandwich. And he rejected it and said, no, I don't take food from strangers.
Yeah.
Now, that might, you know, it might have been a legit reason. Maybe, who knows, you know, so maybe somebody gave him, you know, Taco Bell onions, or it's not onions anymore, whatever it is. But do you ever, because I'm suspending that all for this month, and
okay.
you know, so do you ever say to yourself, well, okay, maybe today that guy just needs his fix?
Well, you know, I have on occasion, because, you know, I work hard all week, and at the end of the week, you know, I might like to go to a bar or whatever and enjoy myself. And, you know, whether I see guys collecting aluminum cans or sometimes even panhandling, I say it looks like a lot of work, and the average person can work and they can go buy a drink or something. If they look really hard up, I feel like I'm just really contributing to them getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Well, that is the other side. Rich, thank you very much.
I saw a guy panhandling, and he was taking a break, and he was kind of, he had his sign down. He wasn't paying attention. I said, man, looks like you're sleeping on the job. You know, but he got back up and started panhandling again.
Rich, thanks a lot for your call.
Okay.
Alex in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how you doing? I'm not trying to pass judgment, but I usually don't give to homeless stragglers or people who kind of look homeless on the subways. I usually just give to some of the musicians or people who may entertain me, make me laugh. Even some of the young kids, sometimes they come on with a boombox and dance. Because you can see they're trying to work. They're trying to make maybe some extra cash for themselves. Or even like your last article with the underground economy.
Yes.
You can even see some of these musicians just like playing guitar in groups of three or four. And you can tell they're just trying to make a living. And I really don't like to give to the homeless, to the stragglers, because I had an experience once where I lived in Upper Manhattan where there was this one homeless person that was constantly begging. You'd see them on the subway. When you got off, they just disappeared, and you'd always find them drunk or stoned. And that
right.
looked like a bad
And
day.
So you were just throwing your money away as far as you
with
were
that,
concerned.
With those two particular homeless
yes.
folks that I saw.
Right,
yes.
So people who look like that, who kind of strike you as they may be that kind of folk, you don't give.
Yeah, and again, I'm not trying to pass judgment, but again, this is just from my own personal
yes.
experience.
Alex, thank you very much. With us briefly, is Julie Salomon. She is the author of a book called Rambam's Ladder, A Meditation on Generosity and Why It is Necessary to Give. Julie, thanks for coming on with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Do you write in Rambam's Ladder about giving on the street?
I do. I do, and it's probably the hardest part of giving of anything, for the reasons that the person who just called in discussed. I think that nobody feels good about it when you give to somebody on the street, because I think it pushes all of your buttons. They're not using the money the right way. They're going to waste it. It's almost like you've thrown away your investment to a certain extent. And I think it's hard not to pass judgment. And yet, I think that, in addition to being a writer, I'm a chairman of the Bowery Residence Committee, which is an organization that works with homeless people. And the philosophy of our agency is actually it's probably better not to give to people on the street, but to help direct them to some place where they can get help.
But you're not entirely comfortable with that either, it sounds like.
I'm not, because, you know, you always come up against somebody that makes you toss all of your common sense or your restrictions out the window when it's a really cold night and there's somebody there shivering. I think it's really hard to give some dispassionate conversation about, well, you know, you really should go to this place that's 10 blocks from here and take care of yourself.
And that's the dilemma, isn't it?
It is, but I think, you know, I think it's always better to go with your heart, and I guess my personal opinion is that sometimes it's better to take the risk that you're throwing the money away, because look at all the other ways we throw money away in our lives every day.
Julie Salomon, author of Rambam's Ladder, thanks a lot for coming on with us for a few minutes.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And Rachel in Flatbush, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I agree with the rest of the callers, but I think you have to have some kind of rules of thumb to regulate yourself with who you give money to.
So what do you do?
Well, personally, me, when I'm on the subway, regardless of where I am, I'll give money to musicians as well as your other caller, simply because I feel like if you have an instrument or some kind of something of value, that if you were a crackhead or whatever, that you would have sold it long ago for a fix.
Yeah, and which may or may not be true, but I have to say, judging from the callers who are waiting in line, musicians do better than anybody and have more credibility than anybody.
Well, I think it also adds a little something to yourself. They're providing a service in a way, because it makes me much happier when I get on a train if the music is something that I like. If I get on a train and somebody's on there playing music, it, you know, kind of changes my whole day. So I feel like, in a way, they're providing a service. I'm providing the legal tender that goes with service provision.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Saul in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Saul.
Hi there. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
And what do you do?
I own and I drive a yellow taxi in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And I give to the bums in the corner. There used to be an element long ago, during and before Rudy, a little intimidation factor to squeeze you guys. You give the bums a quarter, and, you know, it's just to get rid of them. But otherwise, I see, you know, it used to be Bowery bums. You know, you give them quarters.
And what about the reservations that people have been expressing about, you know, whether people who look like what we used to call Bowery bums, and whether they're just going to go drink it up, and whether that's a bad investment?
Oh, those guys that get 5 or 6 quarters and they can buy a little bottle, you know, give them a break. I mean, what are they going to do? This was before crack. Now with the bums, I mean, and like, if it's a regular, he's a regular. And I'll give him all the time. Mm-hmm. I give him a couple of quarters. If it's an amputee, I'll give a couple of singles.
Saul, thanks a lot for your call. Here's an email that says, on a recent trip to Seattle, my husband and I encountered a panhandler who we gave our last Canadian $1 coin. We went on our way to an exhibit of some sort, and on the way back along another street, we encountered the same man who approached us and asked if we wanted to buy the coin for 25 cents. I reminded him that we were the ones who gave it to him, and it was worth $1. He was adamant about getting rid of it, so he took it back. We took it back, gave him a quarter, and went on our way, rethinking our strategy for giving for the future. Christine in Weehawken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Christine.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I just wanted to say that I pretty much regularly give to people on the street whenever I have food or change in my pocket, and they ask, I'll give it to them. But there was this one guy that I used to see on a regular basis by the Rent Theater, and we actually would talk all the time, and I actually got to know him. and he was working with one of the shelters, I think it's behind Port Authority, to get a job. And he was always telling me, you know, I'm trying to get a job as a bike messenger, and he would tell me the interviews that he went on. And I think he actually got a job because I haven't seen him in months.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm very hopeful that, Tony, you are now a bike messenger.
Let's hope, Christine. And giving him money in that case didn't hold him back from getting a job. Thank you for calling. Thanks to all of you who called. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.